this is a fascist colonial project violating all kinds of human rights, all kinds of good values, of the values of more or most civilized people, equity and justice and freedom of expression, freedom of journalism. We have seen it live in real time, how they are killing children, how they are attacking women, how they are squashing men and women on crossings in the West Bank or in Jerusalem. Therefore, to help Palestinians to convey their message or to convey the Palestinian narrative to pass through this filter is a very great help for us. The second thing is, we Palestinians, we are not war, what we call it in English, we are not war makers or war lovers. We are really looking to live in peace. We are really looking to live that our children have the chance of a better life, a dignified life, to live like any children around the world. And we have given all the chances to the Zionist entity and to the international community to solve this political conflict in a peaceful way or a political way, avoiding further bloodshed and killing of people, of children and women. But they have always denied our basic rights of a statehood, of dignity, of freedom. Therefore, we have resorted to armed resistance, which is guaranteed right in the international law, by the way. Our full right to resist the occupation. We are the oppressed people, and the Israelis are the oppressor, and we have the right to resist it. But we have resorted to this track or to this tool because we have seen after 7 decades that no one is really caring about our life, about our future.
Let us not forget that during his tenure, Netanyahu oversaw the assassinations of several Iranian nuclear scientists. He openly and vehemently rejected the Iran nuclear deal in any diplomatic endeavors. He approved several acts of sabotage and nuclear terrorism against Iran's nuclear enrichment facilities, and then had the nerve to go to the United Nations General Assembly and accuse Iran of developing a nuclear weapon, when Israel is the only party who has nuclear weapons. Netanyahu oversaw the brutal assaults on Gaza in 2014 and again in 2021, with thousands of Palestinians being ruthlessly murdered and wounded. In 2016, he secured the largest package of military aid from the United States in history, totaling $38 billion over a period of 10 years to subsidize these atrocities. He launched hundreds of airstrikes on Syria, if not thousands, taking advantage of the chaotic situation in Syria to attack her while she was weak. Under his rule, the Israelis openly worked to assist and give aid to Al-Qaeda fighters inside Syria, just for the sake of helping to topple the Syrian government. Netanyahu tried to move forward with his annexation plan on July 1st, 2020, but ultimately didn't. His plans to annex a further 30% of the West Bank, they didn't come to fruition, but he still tried, and he still got something else in return. Normalization of ties with Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates in the form of the Abraham Accords, orchestrated by a grinning Trump, who also moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to occupy Jerusalem and recognized the illegally occupied Syrian Golan Heights as Israeli. So how different is Bennett if he supports all these and more? On the eve of Bennett taking power, the Palestinian Foreign Ministry issued a statement clearly saying that this is not real change because there is no change in the attitude towards Palestinians. That, quote, "As for the new government's policies, we estimate we will see no difference or perhaps even worse ones." Similar statements were echoed by Hamas and Palestinians alike everywhere. And indeed, let us be under no illusions. Whether Netanyahu had stayed or is replaced by Bennett makes little difference. Perhaps Bennett is more direct in his approach and his rhetoric and speaks with more animosity. But his actions are just as bad as Netanyahu's, if not perhaps slightly worse. Just like his predecessor, he is in favor of annexation. He supports expanding the illegal settlements. He is in favor of brutal military assaults bombing Gaza, allowing Zionists to march through the streets of occupied Jerusalem, unchecked, chanting death to Arabs. Bennett is in favor of ethnic cleansing, of genocide, of oppressing Palestinians, and making sure they never attain statehood, nor be given their basic human rights. Bennett, just like Netanyahu, is the leader of an occupation. It's that simple. And unfortunately, this means that nothing changes on the ground. This means that Palestinians continue to live under a racist, apartheid entity, under colonialism, that is supported and subsidized by the West. Indeed, nothing has changed, save for a few faces and a few names. The cruelty of oppression, of occupation, of colonialism and apartheid continues in all its dimensions. This has not changed and not stopped. And therefore, neither should the resistance to colonialism and imperialism. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique.
In the limelight.
A report entitled The Hunger Virus Multiplies, Deadly Recipe of Conflict, COVID-19, and Climate Accelerate World Hunger says that a year and a half into the coronavirus pandemic, deaths from hunger are outpacing those from the virus. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Brett Wilkins Ryder. This article is published under the heading Oxfam Report Shows 11 people are dying of hunger every minute, outpacing COVID fatalities. Stay tuned for more. As many as 11 people around the world are dying of hunger and malnutrition every minute, outpacing COVID-19 deaths, according to a report published recently by the International Charity of Oxfam. The report entitled The Hunger Virus Multiplies, a Deadly Recipe of Conflict, COVID-19 and Climate Accelerate World Hunger, says that a year and a half into the coronavirus pandemic, deaths from hunger are outpacing those from the virus. Ongoing conflict, combined with the economic disruptions of the pandemic and an escalating climate crisis, has deepened poverty and catastrophic food insecurity in the world's hunger hotspots and established strongholds in new epicenters of hunger, it states. The report continues, conflict was the single largest driver of hunger since the pandemic began, the primary factor pushing nearly 100 million people in 23 conflict-torn countries to crisis or worse levels of food insecurity. Despite calls for a global ceasefire to allow the world to focus its attention on battling the pandemic, conflict has gone largely unabated. Even as governments had to find massive new resource flows to fight the coronavirus, global military spending rose by 2.7% last year, the equivalent of $51 billion, enough to cover the $7.9 billion 2021 UN Humanitarian Food Security Appeal 6.5 times over. Arms sales spiraled in some of the most conflict-torn countries battered by hunger. For instance, Mali increased its arms purchases by 669% since violence escalated in 2012. Overall, around 155 million people in 55 countries are facing crisis levels of food insecurity or worse, the report states. Some of the nations hardest hit by hunger, including Ethiopia, Madagascar, South Sudan, and Yemen. More than 500,000 people in these countries are facing famine-like conditions, an increase of 500% since the pandemic began. The climate emergency was the third significant driver of global hunger this year, the report states. Nearly 400 weather-related disasters, including record-breaking storms and flooding, continued to intensify for millions across Central America, Southeast Asia, and the Horn of Africa, where communities were already battered by the effects of conflict and COVID-19-related poverty. Meanwhile, the rich continued to get richer during the pandemic. The paper notes, the wealth of the 10 richest people, none of whom are men, increased by $413 billion last year, enough to cover the entire UN humanitarian appeal for 2021, more than 11 times over. The report is referring to the World Body's December 2020 appeal for $35 billion to meet humanitarian needs around the world in 2021. Oxfam Executive Director Gabriela Butcher said in a statement that informal workers, women, displaced people, and other marginalized groups are hit hardest by conflict and hunger. Women and girls are especially affected too, often eating last and eating least. They face impossible choices like having to choose between traveling to the market and risking getting physically or sexually assaulted or watching their families go hungry. Governments must stop conflict from continuing to fuel catastrophic hunger and instead ensure aid agencies reach those in need, Butcher continued. Donor governments must immediately and fully fund the UN's humanitarian appeal to help save lives now. Security Council members must also hold to account all those who use hunger as a weapon of war. To prevent unnecessary death and millions more people being pushed to extreme poverty and hunger, governments must stop this deadly disease. A people's vaccine has never been more urgent, she added. They must simultaneously build fairer and more sustainable food systems and support social protection programs.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, a list of good manners. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. We talk about good manners, akhlaq, ethics, morals all the time. But sometimes I wonder where there is a consolidated list that we can get our hands onto. We listen to it in bits and pieces. So in next few programs, I've tried to compile a list of good manners that are mentioned in the holy book, Holy Quran. And we're going to give you pointers and the names of those good manners as a consolidated list so you can focus on them, and also say the verse number so you can go and refer to it, and hopefully, inshallah, look into the interpretation and tafsir of these verses as well. So the first one for you in the house is, don't lie. Chapter 22, verse 30. Then don't spy. 49:12. Spying on believers is considered to be very immoral, and unfortunately it's widespread in our communities. So don't spy. Number 3, don't insult. 49:11. Insulting other believers is detrimental to your iman. Don't waste, you know, where you consume, but then you waste a lot of the food material, especially. This was chapter 17, verse 26. Feed the poor. This is something which we all need to do. 22:36. Don't backbite. How much of a problem backbiting is in our communities, and how many confusions get created because of backbiting. 49:12. Keep your oaths. 5:89. When we promise as a believer, we need to be dependable and trustworthy. Don't take bribes. 27:36. Honor your treaties. 9:4. Restrain your anger. 3:134. Now, anger is something which Allah has prohibited for a believer to have against other believers. Welcome back to your listeners. We continue talking about our consolidated list. Next one is, don't spread gossip. 24:15. Gossip actually creates so much havoc and so much confusion in our ranks that you cannot imagine. Think good of others. 24:12. You know, sometimes we assume others to be bad. This is not Islamically correct. It is not in line with Islamic akhlaq and moral. Be good to guests. 51:24-27. You know, when you invite guests, they are a rahmah, they are a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't harm believers. Chapter 33, verse 58. Don't be rude to parents. 17:23. This is by far one of the things that we need to be implementing in our own lives, and also advising others and reminding others of, because parents have a special right on our neck. We don't have time to go into details, but parents have the special position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, and hence we are obliged to take care of our parents. Turn away from ill speech. 23:3. You know, don't talk and use foul language, the curse words, for instance. Turn away from ill speech. Then the next one is, don't make fun of others. 49:11. Again, you know, we sometimes see that there are soft targets amongst our friends who are believers, amongst our peers, and then we end up making fun of them just for the sake of fun. This is not good. Refrain from it. Walk in a humble manner. 25:63. Quran has taught us that when we walk, we should not be arrogant. We should be humbly taking small steps in a very humble manner, walking on the streets. The next one is, respond to evil with good. 41:34. Last but not the least is, don't say what you don't do. This is what is hypocrisy known as. If you say something and do something opposite to it, this means that you are hypocrite, which is a big problem. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parsetoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and our heartfelt condolences to you all on the sad martyrdom anniversary of the Prophet's 9th infallible successor, Imam Muhammad al-Taghi al-Jawad, peace be upon him, whose life was cut short in the prime of youth. We now present you a saint from this repository of divine wisdom. To show a matter before preparing for it properly is spoiling it.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Four German tightrope walkers have set a new world highlining distance record by crossing an Arctic valley in Sweden. The group tiptoed a distance of more than 2 kilometers between two mountain peaks in Lapland barefoot. The line they walked on was set at a height of 600 meters. The four members of the team walked the line one after another successfully, despite challenges including the wind and long distance. It took 2 days for the team to rig the line between the two peaks.
Of elephants migrating in China have been making headlines for months. Now they have once again attracted attention. Experts monitoring the animals this week noticed two females engaged in a dramatic fight over the herd's leadership, where they kicked and bit each other. The tussle soon ended after a male elephant succeeded in calming the belligerent giants. The fight happened in China's southwestern province of Yunnan. The herd embarked on a lengthy journey last year after escaping a nature reserve and has since trekked hundreds of miles. The elephant's migration is the longest one in China's history. A distinctive feature, no matter of humans or animals, often catches our attention. You might have heard stories about the big fat cow or other animals you love the most. Here we bring you a story about a cow for her not being big, but for being the smallest. Rani, a 23-month-old cow, is being reared on a farm near the Bangladeshi capital, Dhaka. She is only 20 inches tall and weighs 26 kilograms. Local vets say the little Rani has no physical problems but will no longer gain any weight or height. The owner believes Rani is shorter than the smallest cow in Guinness World Record. The record for the smallest cow so far held by a 4-year-old red cow named Manikyam from the Indian state of Kerala.
We found on the internet that the smallest known cow is living in India's Kerala, which weighs 40 kilograms, but ours weighs only 26, so we believe ours is the world's smallest. That's why we applied to the Guinness World Records. They replied to us saying they will investigate within 90 days.
The tiny cow has also caused tourist frenzy in the South Asian country as thousands are flocking to Dhaka to take a glance despite coronavirus restrictions. The owner says only there is over 15,000 people come to visit her in just 3 days. The dwarf cow has also gone viral on social media. A nearly 22-meter-high sand sculpture in Denmark has set a new Guinness record as the world's tallest sand castle. The sculpture has been constructed with nearly 5 tons of sand. It's made in the shape of a triangle, and a wood structure stabilizes it. More than 30 artists from different countries have worked on the project, carving intricate details on the castle's wall. Its makers say a nod to the coronavirus pandemic was also made at the top of that construction. They say that's because the virus has controlled the lives of people over the past months. The sand piece broke the previous Guinness record that belonged to an 18-meter-high sand castle in Germany. An adorable baby elephant has become a web celebrity after she was caught on camera using a muddy hill as playground slide. Footage shows the little elephant excitedly approaching a hill with a smooth path leading downward. The baby then goes on all fours to have the time of her life sliding on her belly down the hill, taking full advantage of rain. The toddler, named Yishong, is only 3 years old. She lives at a rescue center in China, one of the major habitats for wild Asian elephants in the country.
A French company has taken the process of pizza making to a whole new level by creating a robot chef. The robot named Patsy is completely autonomous. The machine, now working in a pizzeria in Paris, is capable of taking orders, making a pizza from scratch and serving it. Having three arms, the robot can make 120 pizzas in an hour, which is 13 times faster than a human chef.
We are in a very fast process with a perfect control of time and quality, since we have a constancy offered by robotics and then an environment that is quite cool and relaxed. The idea is also to spend a few pleasant minutes washing the robot while you wait for your pizza to be made.
It took designers 8 years to develop the machine, which is claimed to be the first pizza-making robot in the world. They hope to use the technology to open robotics-run restaurants that can function round the clock. In China, scientists are happy that the world's first artificially bred leaf monkey is doing well 2.5 months after being born. The rare monkey was born at a research and protection center in Wuzhou City in April. Its birth took place several days earlier than the due date, and the baby was relatively weak at birth. However, thanks to its parents and caretakers, it has grown in a normal way. Scientists say the baby monkey is now in a good condition and its behavior is totally normal.
It is very important in terms of the cytic value. It has been growing up normally. In addition, we have found that it has a curiosity about the world and always shows some exploratory and learning behaviors. In general, it is in very good physical condition.
The center's scientists say another leaf monkey that was born in April is doing well too. These monkeys are the 8th generation of leaf monkeys that have been bred in captivity. Their successful births have raised hope amongst the scientists of saving a species that is one of China's most endangered wild animals. Imagine the hungriest you've ever been. How many hot dogs could you possibly gobble down in 10 minutes? An American man has done 76. Professional eater Joey Chestnut broke the world record in the International Hot Dog Eating Contest on Brooklyn's Coney Island. The 37-year-old managed to devour the first 30 hot dogs in only 3 minutes. The impressive win marked his 14th victory at the annual contest. He held the previous record, which was only one sausage sandwich, less than his 2021 record. Astronauts at China's space station have successfully carried out the country's first spacewalk. Two astronauts exited the core module of Tiangong to examine the station's robotic arm. They also elevated a panoramic camera and tested new generation spacesuits. The mission lasted 7 hours. According to the China Manned Space Agency, another spacewalk will be conducted soon. In June, three Chinese astronauts blasted off to become the first crew of the Tiangong station. They will remain there for 3 months. Lionel Messi is one of the most popular football players with millions of fans from across the world, but the legendary player enjoys special love and affection in his hometown. Local artists at Rosario relished the chance to honor Messi in a mural on a four-story building. The 14-meter high and 8-meter wide giant artwork stands opposite of the school Messi attended in his childhood. The mural depicts him as both an adult and a child. Messi had been the top scorer in European football leagues multiple times. He also received the World's Best Player Award for a record 6 times. The 34-year-old currently holds the Argentinian national team's captaincy. Pangolins might look tough with their scaly armor, but they are in fact highly vulnerable animals. A Vietnamese man is dedicating his time and energy to making sure they are safe. 39-year-old Thai has been protecting pangolins since his boyhood when he saw one brutally hunted by his neighbors. The bitter experience inspired him to find or make a group devoted to saving the endangered species. Save Vietnam's Wildlife has over 60 staff and has so far rescued around 1,600 pangolins. Thai says seeing the rescued animals return to nature is the best part of his job.
The most wonderful moments in the lives of all of the conservationists at my center are the moments that we witness the rescued pangolins getting out from the transportation cages and slowly walking into the forest, because the forest is their true home, where they can have the joy of living their lives in their own way.
Pangolins are one of the most trafficked mammals in the world. Their number have fallen due to illegal trade. The animals, now critically endangered, could once be found in the rainforests across Asia and Africa. They use their sticky tongues to hunt for ants, termites, and similar prey. People around the world have their unique ways of celebrating events. In Nepal, farmers and locals celebrate National Paddy Day by jumping into muddy fields. The festival marks the start of the annual rice planting season. People joyfully sing and play in muddy water. Another popular tradition on this day is eating a mixture of curd and beaten rice with friends and family. The fun event usually draws many tourists from around the world. However, this year, it is limited only to locals due to the coronavirus pandemic. Rice is the most important crop in Nepal and accounts for almost half of the cereal production in the country. The pandemic has not stopped this British musician from holding live concerts. His audience is a very special group in Danish rural areas. Jacob Shaw, a university professor, is the man behind this experiment. He says playing for the animals has been his second best option after the pandemic forced the cancellation of many events and social gatherings. Shaw says the performance for the cows has been so rewarding that he wants to continue it even after public spaces are reopened. He says the cows seem to enjoy classical music very much.
They react differently to different pieces. We played something that was slightly more upbeat, a little bit more modern, and a lot of them didn't like it and they went away. And I think that the type of pieces which is closer to their voice, closer to their mooing, which could be similar actually to a cello, which is why it's so successful with them, they prefer that.
The cello player is sometimes accompanied by other musicians. They say the experience has helped them practice and also relieve some of the stress of a live concert.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trendy news, and more from every corner of the world.
Science fiction has turned into reality, or at least that's how the developer of Aircar describes his vehicle when it transforms from a car into an aircraft in less than 3 minutes. This prototype flying car was designed and created by Slovakian transportation professor Stefan Klein. He says that his design opens a new category in transportation. The dual mode vehicle composed a 35-minute flight in this week between the two Slovakian airports. So far, it has completed more than 40 hours of test flight. Aircar can fly about 1,000 kilometers at a height of over 2,500 meters. That makes the dream of those who wish to ride above traffic closer to reality. A digital art museum in the Japanese capital has unveiled a stunning exhibition offering visitors an intimate interaction with nature. One of the attractions of the show is Floating Flower Garden, which is a mirrored room filled with 13,000 orchid flowers. The orchids are dangling from the ceiling and move up once a visitor walks through in the space and approaches the flowers. Once the visitors move past, the flowers descend again. This makes the visitors able to freely wander around the three-dimensional flower mass space. Tokyo-based digital art group Team Lab that runs this exhibition says the artwork is designed to help people think that they are part of the garden.
This is an installation filled with these flowers. As you walk towards them, the flowers slowly move up to create an area of space for you. Surrounded so completely by flowers, you feel immersed in the flowers, the garden itself.
There are several other installations in this exhibition. One is an outdoor piece filled with Ovid sculptures that light up after the sun sets. Visitors can see 61 different colors of light in this section. When one of the Ovids tipped over by a hand or the wind, it emits a sound. The sound is then echoed by the surrounding ovids.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio.
accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Javad, peace be upon him.
Ya Javad ibn al-Reza, Ya Javad ibn al-Reza.
Let's look at the calendar. Today, Sunday, is the 30th of Zilqa'dah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We offer our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Javad, peace be upon him. The Imam Javad's political role. Dear friend, studying the historical documents and letters started by Imam Javad, peace be upon him, on one hand, and the attitudes held by the Abbasid authorities towards the Holy Imam, on the other, one can understand the Imam Javad, peace be upon him, was at the top of secret political and ideological essence who practiced his activities in secret and had a leading status with a deep impact on awakening the feeling of the people. These letters reveal not only the existence of the deep relationship between the Holy Imam and his companions and how the financial assistance was presented to him from different parts of the Muslim lands to cover his needs in performing his activities, but also the existence of the Holy Imam's followers and his secret cultural and political activity at that time. Indeed, the Abbasid authorities were watching the Holy Imam's activities and used different ways to hinder it and forbid it against spreading and affecting others. Hence, these letters reveal to us the continuation of this activity and the call in support of the Holy Family of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, the deepness of their effect, the influence of their ideological and political tendencies in the life of the people, in spite of the terror and dangers which surrounded them. Dear followers, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, you are with this episode of today's special on the occasion of martyrdom anniversary of Imam Javad.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the martyrdom of the ninth infallible Imam, Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Jawad. Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was the ninth infallible Imam, and he was really an exemplary personality in his time, especially in his period of imamate. As we know, his father, the eighth infallible Imam, Ali ibn Musa al-Rida alayhi salam, was in Khorasan, and he was left together with the rest of the family in Medina. And at the time of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, the ruling Abbasid authority intended to test him whether to find that such a child, would be able to answer questions or not, and in order to mislead him, they tried hard to appoint some people as teachers for him. However, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, because of being endowed with the power, with the divine grace of imamate, was much superior by far than all of those people who pretended to be his teachers. And in fact, nobody deserved such a post for him. Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was tolerant regarding many things. So one of them was was that his wife was a daughter of Ma'mun, who had poisoned and martyred his father, Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. And in fact, being tolerant with such a wife was really a very important, praiseworthy trait of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Another one was that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was such a person who helped those people who were really in need of his assistance. And he was the most pious of all people in his own time. He always tried to guide the people to the right path and be kind to whoever went to him for receiving some help or grace. Thank you.
Holy Imam's martyrdom. When Ma'mun died, Mu'tasim ascended the throne. He, Mu'tasim, like his Abbasid ancestors, was worried about the leadership of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all, and their political and scholarly status. Therefore, he exiled Imam Jawad, peace be upon him, from Medina to Baghdad in the year 219 AH. For fear of his popularity and extending his effect, he did this in order to draw the Holy Imam near the center of power and isolate him from practicing his political and scholarly role. Indeed, Imam Jawad alayhi salam was exiled to Baghdad from Medina and stayed in Baghdad until in the year 220 AH. When he was martyred by poisoning by his wife, Umm al-Fadl, at the instigation of the ruling Abbasid Caliph Mu'tasim. His short life lasted 25 years and some months and was full of historical, ideological, and scholarly struggle and achievements. The Holy Imam, peace be upon him, was martyred in Baghdad in the year 220 AH and was buried in the graveyard of Quraysh behind his grandfather, Imam Musa ibn Jafar, peace be upon him, the seventh Holy Imam, which was since then became famous as Qasim. We offer our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of such great personality, Imam Jawad, peace be upon him. You are with IRIB English Radio and today's special. Now we hear a short part about the struggle of Imam Jawad alayhi salam. Imam Jawad taught us a great lesson. The great lesson is that when faced with hypocritical and duplicitous powers, we should make an attempt to awaken people's awareness for fighting these powers. Like other infallible imams, Imam Jawad is a role model, leader, and an example to follow. The short life of this meritorious servant of Allah was spent on fighting against the unfaithful and rebellion. In his adolescence, he was appointed the leader of the Islamic nation, and in a few years, he went through a compact struggle against Allah's enemies such that he became unbearable for the enemies of Allah, hence they poisoned him, leading him to martyrdom. Just as our other imams recorded a golden page in history through their endeavor for the sake of Allah, this noble imam, Imam Jawad, peace be upon him, also fulfilled in an important part of Islam's comprehensive struggle through his activism, and he taught us a great lesson. That great lesson is that when faced with hypocritical and duplicitous powers, we should make an attempt to awaken people's awareness for fighting these powers. If the enemy displaces hostility openly and bluntly and does not practice duplicity, it will be an easier task. But when the enemy is like Mamun Abbasi, who disguises as sacred and an advocate of Islam, it would be difficult for the people to recognize him. In our time and in all areas of history, those in power have always tried to resent duplicity and hypocrisy once they fail in openly standing against the people.
Al-Imam al-Jawad represented a divine miracle. At a young age, at the age of 8, he assumed the leadership of the imamah. And through his knowledge, he mesmerized the world. A young boy in those famous Baghdad debates demonstrated that Allah chooses the imams of Ahlul Bayt. And that al-Muhammad, they carry the knowledge of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. In all aspects, in theology, in Quranic studies, in Islamic law, Al-Imam Al-Jawad alayhi salam presented and demonstrated his amazing knowledge in Islamic law in that famous debate between him and Yahya ibn Aktham, the high judge of the Islamic world. Yahya ibn Aktham asked the young boy, Al-Imam Al-Jawad, tell me about a pilgrim who's going on the pilgrimage to Mecca who hunted an animal. What's the penalty for that? He thought this young boy doesn't know anything in Islamic law. And Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam surprised Yahya ibn Aktham by mesmerizing him with a follow-up question. The Imam alayhi salam basically was telling him, your question is too general, be more specific. So the Imam offers this follow-up question. The Imam alayhi salam tells him, tell me, where did he hunt the animal? Was it in the haram area around Mecca, or was it outside of that? The animal that he killed, was it a small animal? Was it a big animal? Was it a bird, or was it another type of animal? Did he know that hunting while in the state of ihram is haram, or he did not know? Was it his first time hunting, or second or third time, meaning it's a repeated offense? Was it during the day, or was it at night? The one who hunted, was he a young person or was he an elderly person? Was he a free man or was he a slave? And he kept bombarding him with question after question. Yahya ibn Aktham was dumbfounded. He's the top scholar of his time, but he was dumbfounded. He lowered his head out of shame. I don't know the answer to these questions. And Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam teaches us to master Islamic law. Let us educate ourselves and be inspired by the knowledge of Al-Imam Al-Jawad alayhi salam. And let's also educate our youngsters. When you're thinking about Islamic knowledge and seminary classes, don't only think about yourself and your generation, even your youngsters. Even if I have children, I need to have them start on this journey. Remember, your Imam, Al-Imam Al-Jawad, was only 8 years old when he assumed the leadership of Imamah. Believe in our youngsters. We can inspire them with divine knowledge.
Ya Abu Ja'far, Ya Muhammad ibn Ali, Ayyuha al-Taghiyyul Jawad, Ya Ibn Rasulullah.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much to join us till this time of today's special. That was all for today's special. Again, we offer our condolences on the anniversary of Imam Jawad's martyrdom. Till another episode, fi amanillah.
قدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.